And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio. Michael here at DetroitLions.com. Draft weekend recap. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown.
For all our faithful listeners out there, our last podcast was done Friday afternoon. At that time, the first-round pick, Terrion Arnold, was picked. That's all we knew. We knew no more. We didn't know what was going to happen Friday night, Saturday afternoon. But things happen, things change. So we're going to review the rest of that draft, talk about the week. I just want to talk about the week itself in Detroit, Mike. I know you were at Allen Park, so it was pretty much standard business for you as every other draft. You recovered it from that angle. But from being downtown, covering it from that way, covering it from the other side, I thought the town was great. Forget about the number of people. The number of people is outstanding. I'm just talking about the event itself.
Yeah, the whole thing just came off. I don't know if you could ever say, look, we're going to put 750 million people out there. We're going to do this, and it all worked perfectly. Well, that's what happened.
Yeah. And
that's exactly what happened.
But, you know, in this town, it's a something's bound to mess up mentality that we always have. And it's always we're worried about what everybody in the country thinks of us. And I'm fine and happy that everybody in the country got a good impression of Detroit. But I don't really care about that. I just care if something bad would have happened, not to get stained more. But I'm just on the fact of I expect us to put things on like this. I expect us to do things like that. And when you take your expectations down to where if you do what you're supposed to do, that's you should get a badge for it. Then you're defeating yourself. So I expected what happened to happen, and it did, and I'm happy. And I'm going to just leave it like that.
Well, I think I said this to you at the beginning. I said, why are people surprised that this is going to work in Detroit? We have more downtown outside events than anybody. You know, the music things and the auto show and the Thanksgiving Day parade and over and over and over. I mean, that's what we do. You know, the Riverwalk, we're set for that. We're built for that. And so, no, I was not surprised that it came off at all.
Well, everybody thinks Detroit is like Escape from New York, a Mad Max movie, where as soon as you walk in, lawlessness breaks loose and nobody knows how to act. And, you know, fine and dandy if you're happy squelling that, I'm fine with it. But like I said, I expect this to happen, and it happened, and I'm happy for it. Now, one thing I didn't expect was the number of people, because it was cold Friday. Look, I was out there Friday. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thursday. I'm sorry, Thursday. It was cold. It was cold Thursday. And I thought especially as the sun went down in the afternoon and night, as it got colder, I said, I don't know, man. The first night might be a little light compared to the weekend and Friday. But when I saw 275 the first night, I'm like, okay. And they weren't going anywhere. And I'll get into this part of it in a minute. They weren't going anywhere, you know, until that was over. So I was real happy about that. Friday, I expected it because of what happened, you know, what happened Thursday. And then Saturday, it's a daytime thing. The kids are out of school. You know, it's 80 degrees. So I expected a big day then. So I got what I expected. I just thought it was a great event. It's good to see a lot of blue. You know, at these drafts, I really don't watch the drafts, crowds in other cities before. And I don't know, did they wear their colors like in Tennessee and whatever? Is that normal?
I'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, see, I never watched that. But this was highlighted for this one. And even national people noticed the blue and the crowd, the way the blue looked and everything. So that was good. So the visual looked good. If you didn't never been to Detroit and you saw the nighttime visual on Friday night, or Thursday night, and the daytime visual on Saturday overhead, it just looked beautiful. We'll just leave it like that. Good job, everybody out there. But I expected it out of you, and you did. So there you go.
Well, next year it's going to be in Green Bay. You think Green Bay is going to come up with something similar to Detroit had?
No, I heard Green Bay is going to do theirs in an open field. Like they got a big round open area, and they're going to fence it off. So it's going to be more of a rural thing. You know, they can have a bunch of cows and cheese out there, and I'll be happy with them. I don't care, you know. But I put it like this. You're not going to see when you have so many cities around Detroit that could drive there, you're not going to see everybody driving up to Green Bay. It's like only a few cities, Minnesota, Chicago, you know, those towns, Detroit, maybe will go up there. But you won't have the vicinity of people. We're like located to too many cities close. And I saw and talked to a lot of those people at the draft too, you know, fans and stuff in the street from different cities and stuff that drove up. All right, so let's get to the draft itself. Like I said, Brad Holmes has got to be on some type of hyperactive drug. I've just come to realize this because he's not going to sit still in life.
Hyperactive drug.
He's got to be doing something because he is the fidgety draft man. That's what I'm calling for now because he is not sitting at any draft pick. He's either going up or going back. Rarely is he going to sit still for 5 or 10 minutes to do anything. And I love it because you never know. Because even when I was talking to you, all of a sudden, you just see Lions on the clock, and you have to look at what happened. You know, they just move like stealth ninjas.
You're right. I was talking to you, and I had no idea what was going there. So,
and out of nowhere, you didn't even expect it.
And the thing about it is the Lions are scheduled to draft at the 29th position, and they wanted Torrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama. So at 24, Brad decided, the heck with it, I'm moving up. Yeah. I want him now.
Right.
I don't want to take any chance. You know, and he's right. Why take a chance?
Right. And we talked about him earlier, so we're not going to get into the Terrion part. But like you said, when you got a guy who's rated some as a top 10 player overall or a top 15 player overall, and he slides there, you got to go get him. And I don't have a problem with giving up a third. Now, Mike, I do have a problem, as we'll talk about. Let's get into picks, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, so Friday night comes, the Lions wait to their pick, and they pick another cornerback, Enos Rakestraw of Missouri. He was, in a lot of mocks, I saw him rated to the Lions in the first round, and I saw him early second round, I saw a late first round grade on him with a lot of mock drafts and grades. So nobody's talking about the talent of the player and the player, but are you a fan or a favor of two D-backs back-to-back, 1-2?
I was talking to, I forget who it was this afternoon out at the Lions facility. I don't think it's what I would have done. You know, I don't. But, of course, I'm not Brad Holmes, and I don't have access to as much information as he does. But I don't see anything wrong with it either at all. If you think that player is the one that's going to fit in there, and really they set themselves up in a good way for some other stuff to come, I think it's the right thing to do. Bottom line, right thing to do. Now, as you do in other cases, players have to live up to it, and we'll see if they do, but they are players that the Lions expect to live up to it.
Well, especially, I had a problem with it at first, and then I looked at the players afterward, and there wasn't like a glaring player that I saw that they should have got for their need or whatever. So I'm fine with it if that's what you – if those are the best players, I don't pass on good players. But one thing I went back to – you know the last time the Lions drafted a cornerback first and second round?
First and second rounds?
Yeah, in the same draft.
I'll tell you. Tell me what it was, and I'll tell you if I knew.
Well, I went back and looked. 1997, Brian Westbrook and Kevin Abrams.
Kevin Abrams.
Yeah, went 1-2. It didn't work out then, though. Brian
Kevin
Westbrook
like,
got hurt. Good player, got hurt. Kevin Abrams was eh. So the last time they did it, it didn't work.
Kevin Abrams had a foot ankle injury. That's ended his career.
Yeah,
he was a tremendous prospect.
But it didn't work. I'm just saying it didn't work. I don't know. Both of them got hurt. Both of them got hurt. So it didn't work. And Kevin Abrams also was small. He was 5'8". He was a small corner. He wasn't like these two guys. These two guys are outside press man corners. I mean, this is and you got to remember, Carter, the pick we got from the player we got from Tampa Bay, misses time. You know, he's hurt. You know, he's missed half seasons, but he's missed time. He's missed games. So now you got a guy that can go in there if one of the guys get hurt. I don't have a problem with it at all. I think the D-backs were so bad last year. Anybody wants to complain, just go back and look at the totals of those wide receivers every game from that Dallas game on. Both Minnesota games, the Dallas game. Puka Nacua. I mean, are we forgetting that? We forgot that fast?
Well, I don't know about that. One thing about Davis, though, he's on a one-year contract, and if these two rookies pan out the way they might pan out, the way that I think they're expecting them to pan out, then they don't necessarily have to make a big bid on Davis again for a multi-year contract. It could be a one-year deal, which would really save the Detroit Lions an awful lot of money on the salary cap.
Well, that also tells me that they didn't sign him before the draft, and he must want a lot of money. Because if he would have been signing, or they thought they were close to signing him, they might have went somewhere else with that pick too.
But well, you mean extending him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, extending them. If they didn't sign them before the draft, and when you go up there and you pick two cornerbacks, that's telling me that either the guy who you want to extend is asking for a lot of money right now that you don't want to pay, or you don't know if he's going to be there next year. I'm going to tell you another part of it too, Mike. I'll tell you another part of it too. Carter, if I'm looking back in retrospect now, I know you have to do it in order. You don't know ahead of time. But if they knew, like Nostradamus or Soothsayer, that they were going to get those two players, they would have never signed Carter. I mean, you don't know at the time you got to go get a player because you got to build your team. But, like, if you have the draft before free agency, they wouldn't have traded for Carter. If they had two cornerbacks, they wouldn't have traded for him. It's just that simple.
Well, they might have gone in a different direction, too, so you don't know that either.
But – like I said, you got three corners now, and then you got a fourth, really, with Mosley, who's a starting caliber if he's healthy, if he's back to where he was. So your corners are in good shape going in. I'm fine with that. So we can push those two off. Now, I thought the night was over, and the night was over then. So Saturday we come in again. I'm talking, you know, it's going to be a while because the Lions don't pick the, you know, the late, what was it, 141 or whatever the number they were picking at
fifth
in the fourth round.
Fifth round.
They didn't have a fourth round pick. They're picking fifth round.
Right.
Lo and behold, Brad Holmes got some more juice in him, whatever the hyper juice is. And he had to make a trade, so he moves up. And he gives up next year's number three pick and the spots to move up to get a fourth rounder, number 126. Now, before I even get to the player, Giovanni Manu from British Columbia, Canadian College, I have never heard so much complaining in my life on talk radio about the fourth round pick, and I wouldn't have did it, and the fans are upset to pick up a guy like, you know nothing. I don't know this guy from a can of paint. You don't know him from a can of paint. But I'm putting it like this. If the day you see me complaining about whoever they take in the fourth round is the day you pull me off the air. I don't, Mike, after like the first round of players and maybe into the second, everybody else is just, you don't know these players. You might have seen them on TV. You don't know how they rate. I don't know this guy. I don't know how he rates, but I know one thing. Brad Holmes didn't put too much in the scouting and just say, oh, let's go to Canada to the college in British Columbia and just pick whoever they got over there. It's stupid. I mean, Mike, they spent all day on this. Is this all you got? Do some damn research and put a better show on.
Well, hold on now. But the one thing about it, I think, that you can add into this, that a fourth-round pick next year for the Detroit Lions that they've given up is really a fifth-round pick, because the Lions are going to have a good football team, and they're going to be the top 20, 25, 28, something like draft. So it's not going to be like they're giving up the first pick in the fourth round.
It'll be like the top pick of the fourth round.
Well, not the top pick. You mean the last – which one are we talking about?
Well, the first one. See, we got to get to the second. You own right on the second trade. We're on the first trade. The first trade, they gave up the third rounder next year for
right.
Manu. So that's like a fourth rounder.
Right.
It's like a fourth rounder. Gave up a fourth rounder and moved up to get a fourth rounder.
Right.
But even if you gave up a third rounder, I don't care. If you think you need – put it like this, and we're going to get to the player. Let's get to him now, and then I'll put my point in. Giovanni Manu, Mike. He could go into pro wrestling right now and be like the ultimate warrior. This guy's built like a box, man, I'm telling you. And athletic he looks and everything, played on a smaller level. Michael Harris, you've been around for a while. Do you remember the name Eric Swan?
I mean, sort of, yeah.
D-tackle the Arizona took in the first round. Remember him? Never played college ball at all. Remember he played some semi-pro team. They took him in the first round, and he was a decent player. He got hurt, but he was a decent player. You crying over a fourth rounder. Get over it. I mean, come on. There have been players that have been taken in the first round that didn't play. So, like I said, I don't have no problem with the fourth rounder. I'm sorry. But I put it like this. If he becomes what I think he's going to become, or at least can be a backup lineman or a functional lineman in your rotation, then a fourth-round pick, what do you expect out of it?
Well, with this kid, with what we've talked about, this is which one are we talking about now?
We're talking about Giovanni, the guard. We're talking about the tackle first, British
Columbia.
Yeah,
right. No, he's he looks like the real thing. He really does. Now we'll see. You know, it's a rough game in there, and not everybody's ready to play it. So
but it's not like he hasn't played football. Like the guy from Philadelphia who they compared him to, Malatala or whatever, he was a rugby player and became a good lineman. But he hadn't played football. This guy at least has played football, so you do get to see him in football, you know, football plays. So you know what you can judge him off of that. So I'm not even worried about that. Look, put him aside. And I saw a thing from his coach today, this morning, that he thinks he's going to be a guard. He thinks he's going to – now, they draft him as a tackle. They said tackle, so I'm going to hold them to that. But he thinks he'll be a starting guard in this league within a year. So we'll see. It'll be interesting either way.
Well, we'll see. I'll let the Lions decide where they're going to put their
players. Well, I always go by when they announce him as. They announce him as a tackle, and I think he'll be a tackle, which moves on to the next pick. Lions didn't wait around again. They made another move to move up to get Utah running back Sione Vaca. Now, Mike, he's a safety and a running back. He was more a safety, really, than a running back. He did some running at the end of last year. But the Lions announced him as a running back. So I'm assuming that's what's going to be his position. I don't have any feeling for him, but they evidently wanted him because Brad Holmes said afterward, Manu and Vaca, they went to sleep the night before knowing they wanted to get him and didn't want to miss on him. So you heard from yesterday, I guess, in the his conference call or whatever. What do you think of the pick?
Well, let's talk about Vaca, how you pronounce it. I think he has a long career. I'll eventually learn how to say it right. But he's a very, very versatile player. He does multiple positions. And one of them, and I think this is a more important one this year than it was in recent years, is that he's a return specialist, too. I think he's also a return specialist and a cover man, too. And the way they've changed the rules on kickoffs and so on, that's a much more important job than it was a year ago, because on both ends of it, you know, getting yardage, breaking plays, and stopping the opposition. You know, and he has shown in college, and college is different, but he has shown in college an ability to do both, plus run the ball, plus catch the ball.
Exactly.
Defend the passing game.
Exactly.
So we'll see.
Like I said, I have no problem with that. Fourth rounder. I have no problem because that was just six picks later from my news. They picked up two players. I have no problem. Like I said, I went into the draft, Mike, after the first round pick, and even then I said whatever he picks, whatever position is fine with me, because I thought they were already covered going in. So whatever he wants to do is fine. I hear good things about this guy, so I'm fine with it. Move on to the sixth round pick. They finally had a couple of six rounders in the game. Mekhi Wingo, D-tackle LSU, who I have seen a lot. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's a short guy, little stubby guy, fast guy. He's a quick guy. Now, they say he got short arms. It might hinder him in the pros, but I think this is a good pick. I looked on some of the draft things. They had him rated. Matter of fact, NFL Network's top 100 players, he was rated in the top 100 players. So I like the kid. I think he's got a chance.
Well, 32 teams did not agree that he was a top 100.
That's fine.
Agree with that.
And 199 didn't agree Tom Brady was either, right? That's fine.
Okay, so we have another Tom Brady.
No, I'm just saying, I don't give a damn what somebody else had him rated. I'm talking about I look at performance, production, and ability. And I see certain abilities out of this kid. I see a production out of him. He's short, like I said, with short arms, but he's quick as cats. And he gets in there. And he didn't play for the UAD High Falcons. He played for LSU, okay? All right?
Is that Louisiana State?
Yeah. He ain't playing, you know, LaSalle Street University over there by Six Mile.
Time out. What did you have for lunch?
That's some soup, man.
All right, go ahead. Let's continue.
So I'm fine with it as a six-round pick. We'll see if he makes the team or not. He's a six-rounder, but I see Trace. That's all you can ask for.
Well, you know, Kenny, you're absolutely right about that. That at the very base of every single player, does he have the athleticism to play the game? Then you get into all the other stuff and start piling it on. But if they're too slow, too small, too short, too whatever, move on.
Right. Then finally they ended it up with Boston College guard Christian Mahogany. Not Christian Wood. The Pistons used to have Christian Wood. Now we got Christian Mahogany for the Lions. And if the Red Wings get Christian Balsa, and and the Tigers get Christian Redwood, then we got a team of wood going on over there. So, now back to you. You gonna use your little comment on me again? He was rated a third rounder on like a lot of the pre-draft publications I read. I don't know why he failed. And Brad Holmes said during the thing he didn't want to get into it on why he thinks he failed. But he failed a 210. If he can play in this league, in this division, it's a good backup to have at guard, left guard.
Right. Yeah, right. Look, none of that matters now. He's a Detroit Lion. He's got a chance to play football. He'll be rated and graded and cut or make it or whatever you want by his performance on the field. It's got nothing to do with where he was rated now. Mm. That's over.
That's it. Okay, so that was the draft. They picked up a bunch of free agents after the draft, undrafted free agents. One, a wide receiver, I believe it's Isaiah William or Wilson from Illinois, who's a little intriguing prospect, a little slot receiver. He had a couple thousand-yard years for Illinois the last couple of years. They signed him, gave him a nice little bonus. That might be something. But, Mike, I was surprised, I don't know about you, that three positions did not get addressed that I thought were going in. I for sure thought they were going to draft a wide receiver. They didn't.
I did, too.
I thought they might draft a safety. If you want to count Vikai as a safety, then they drafted one, but a full-time safety. And an edge rusher, which I still don't think they've addressed yet.
Not yet. I would agree with that. The safety, I didn't even think about it. Brian Branch can go back to safety any day of the week. He could play it with his eyes shut. That's how good he is.
No, he can play with his eyes shut now, but they still need some backup safety. I'm not even looking for a starter, but they need a backup, unless you count Melifonu if you put Branch back there as the backup. But then maybe, like I said, Tracy Walker was back in town last week. It posted on there, welcome back to Detroit. I don't know if they agreed to bring him back or if they're going to try to get Quandre Diggs or go out and, even Justin Simmons is still out there. It's a bunch of guys still out there. Wide receiver, Mike, bring my boy back here, DJ Chark.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes. You probably can get him for a minimum veteran salary, one-year deal. Get him back in here, 6'4". They need a big receiver.
6'4" and no production.
Okay. Who caught the ball against Green Bay that clinched that game?
Oh, get
who caught the ball? Who caught the ball?
Who threw it? The perfect throw.
Yeah. All right, so that's the draft evaluation now. Everything's out. Any things they missed on or something you'd like to see them pick up on from this point on, Mike?
Well, first of all, let me just say, this is the way you've worked me over here. This is the most pacing I've ever done on one of our shows. So is there anything else I'd like to see them get done? I think that didn't they draft a UFD punter or kicker, one of those? Or kicker,
they drafted the Michigan – I mean, they signed the Michigan kicker – as an undrafted free agent,
UDFA, yeah.
But it wasn't Moody, who was last year's kicker, who was the good one. They drafted a guy this year. He's okay. Nothing, nothing to get out of bed about. I'm still waiting for that USFL guy to finish his season. I hope they get him and bring him into camp. Even though he missed a 58-yarder and a 62-yarder outside this last weekend.
Oh, get rid of him.
Yeah, but you know what? They sent him out there to kick him, so that's more than what we're getting with our little – baby kickers we got going. So I'm like I said, they'll find a kicker. I'm surprised they didn't draft a kicker. That may be another position I might be surprised they didn't, in the last round or whatever. They traded a 7-round pick away. I thought might have been to get a kicker. I know the kickers that they looked at I believe it was Stanford's kicker, and there was one from I want to say Missouri or somewhere like that. Those guys got drafted like in the 6th round.
Yeah,
so they'll find a kicker.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you've exhausted my level of interest in kickers, by the way. Let me just say that.
Right. Now, two things I do want to say.
I can't take any more.
Two things I do want to say before they go. I thought the Lions shirts on Friday were nice, but I thought the Saturday Campbell jerseys were a great touch. When the network looked at them in their war room. Did you see them?
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
They had the black jerseys on Dan Campbell's 89. Even some idiot from San Francisco posted that the Lions were trolling the 49ers and that was a Brock Wright jersey. That shows you how dumb they are out in San Francisco. You know, that just shows you how dumb they are. That the Lions would even care about trolling for Brock Wright with you. And he was serious. He was dead serious.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Kenny Brown today with Coast to Coast Hate.
That's right. Stay off that radio around here listening to idiotic talk about the fourth round pick. And number two, don't listen to San Francisco radio talk about Brock Wright hate. Those are two things I will not tolerate from this point on.
Oh, my God.
All right, any closing thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, what are you taking?
Same thing Brad Holmes was taking before a round starts.
You know what I think was really cool, though, was that at his wrap-up press conference on Saturday evening, he wore the jersey. I thought it was good. And he really had some laudatory things to say about what the city of Detroit did. I mean, he for a guy who's only been in town, 3.5 years, something like that, he really has adapted to Detroit. And there's a genuine, I think, love affair between Brad and the city of Detroit.
One thing I think they missed their cue on, though.
Yeah.
They missed their cue. I don't know if they could have did it or not. They should have got down to the stage sometime during the 3 days. I know you got to go to the room and whatever, but if they would have, like, got down there when the show opened at 8 o'clock on Thursday and then got back over to Allen Park, which they could have got back there in 20, 30 minutes, they wouldn't have missed out on, you know, getting ready to make trades or whatever. I just wish they would have been able to get on stage, him and Campbell, sometime, you know, during the weekend. That would have been great. That's the only thing I think they missed out on.
Well, I think the really good part was when Amon Ross St. Brown was chanting, Jared Goff. I thought that was really good, really cool.
All right, number three. I'm about to fill it at.
I'm fine with that for the last time.
But no more of that from anybody after this point. That was last season. Everything was fine. I don't want to hear Jared Goff chant it anymore because it's a new season now.
So that's good enough for Amon Ross St. Brown.
It was good enough for that night. That's the last time, though. That's the last time.
That's not good enough for you.
Because you know in this town, you'll be checking Jared Goff one day, and after a bad performance, it'll be Jared Goff sucks. I mean, that's just the way they do around here. So
they're not going to chant that.
Mike, you've been here long enough to know they will boo anybody. I saw him boo Chauncey after he won the title. Come on. So let's get it going. All right, Mike, that's it for this week. Rookie minicamp is the 10th, I believe, of May. So
10th of May.
We'll come back and probably do something then after the camp. I don't think we'll do anything before then.
Okay. Don't tell them what they won't tune in until then.
They go tune in when it's out. If it's not out there, they're not going to tune into it because there's not going to be anything to tune into. So we'll play it by ear if something big happens. I got a feeling there's going to be some veteran signings this week. Now, I'll tell you one team I am disappointed in and one team I was happy with draft-wise for other teams before we got out here. Philadelphia Eagles kind of mirrored the Lions. They took corners in their first two picks. So DeJean from Iowa and Mitchell from Toledo against Terry and Arnold from Alabama and Rakenshaw from Missouri. They'll be talking about who got the best two of those for a long time.
Yeah, I like that player from Iowa. I really did. The one thing about the Iowa players, look, they were 10-2 with no offense. Okay, so I think that they are really, really well coached, and I think they help just in a reasonable draft position. You know, where they land up, they are very, very, very productive.
Yeah, but if Brad Holmes would have took another injured player with a second round, you would have had all hell screaming out because DeJean broke his leg last year and only played six games. Yeah. I'm glad. Stay away from him. Stay away from him. I'm not for that. I'm not for that. Even though he was a good player before he broke his leg, there's no telling what he's going to be like when he comes back. But we'll see. We'll see. He was a good player.
He's going to be a good player who broke his leg and fixed it.
Okay.
And healed.
We'll see. Soothsayer, we will see. All right, Mike, that's it.
I see it that way, and when I see it, that's the way it is.
All right, Michael here at DetroitLions.com. Get some rest from your hard weekend of work. I will get some rest from my hard weekend of squirming, and we will come back next week and talk about the Lions. See you later, Mike.
All right, Ken.
Say goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye.
There you go.